Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist and Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon, and you're listening to me live on the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
Welcome to a very special presentation of Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes, a spinoff of the Comic Syndicate. I'm your host, Josias, at ForTheVillain on Twitter, at Comic_Syndicate on Instagram. All right, guys, welcome to the first Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes of 2020. We've been on a little bit of hiatus, but I figured let's start the year off January still. Let's run and gun. Let's do it. Let's hit it. It's a spinoff of the Comic Syndicate, so as opposed to pop culture, this is just stuff that I've written over the past, oh my god, year by now, notes and everything that I've pulled together, just doing research, small research, lots of research for certain topics and subjects. It's been a while since I've done this, so looking back at a lot of the writing I had done prior and before for Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes. I went through those, and a lot of those were, they felt a little bit outdated, and even the fact that I need to rewrite a few of them, somehow just tweak them out to make them somewhat more relevant. This is going to be episode 281.1, but it is a Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes. Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes was created to talk about everything and to dissect certain topics and certain pieces and just roll with it and do it just fucking exactly what the title is. Just deep dive something and go down that rabbit hole and pull some fucking strings and let's see what we find. This one in particular, I think I wrote a while back and had a few conversations with a few people and actually Victoria this morning, which was interesting at the office, and I started asking her some questions. These are the questions that I was asking her. What do you believe in and or what are you skeptical about? She looked at me kind of odd and I'm like, well, you know, okay, I'm going to go down a list of things. So let's premise this deep dives by I'm going to take my time and then I'm going to read you guys an article. I'm going to give you guys some closing thoughts. This is just the intro still. But the thing was, again, what are you skeptic about? For myself, I think the only thing I'm skeptical about a lot of things in the world in general, just because I'm so inquisitive and I'm curious. I'm that guy. But one of the things that I'm insanely skeptical about is astrology. I don't know why. It's just one of those things, those weird quirks where it just doesn't make sense and I can't get anything viable out of it. But that's me. Now, I want everyone, as you guys are listening to this, it just don't get so deeply retrospective about it. But I'm going to take my time talking about these, and you guys, on your own, decide, okay, yes, okay, no. I agree, I disagree. These are talking points. So let me know how you guys feel about these. The things I gave her, questions, do you believe in? First one, religion. To his listeners, I believe, you know, people are agnostic. People don't believe in anything. I get that. I'll go down through my background, but as I go through these, do you guys question any of these at all? Religion. Do you question science? And this is all skepticism too. Are you guys questioning astronomy? Do any of you guys question or don't believe? And again, skepticism, you guys don't believe, you guys do believe. There's some sort of something you believe, or it's all 150% bullshit to you guys. Astronomy, next one is going to be, do any of you guys believe in spirits or entities or even ghost? I'll give you guys time to think about that one. You guys should have your answer. Do you guys believe giant creatures once roamed the earth? So, dinosaurs are a thing, right? UFOs. Do you guys believe in unidentified flying objects? Okay. Now, this is a piggyback, but it's still different than this next one. Do you guys believe in aliens? Now, unidentified flying objects depends on how you break it down. What are our governments doing across the world? So, perhaps. But do you guys believe in aliens? And if you guys do or don't believe in aliens, do you guys believe in abductions? Now, this is going to be a piggyback of a prior one. If you believe in abductions, do you guys believe in possession? So spiritual possession, demonic possessions, and even to go down that route and road. Do you guys believe in exorcisms? Do you guys believe in any of these things so far? It's going to make sense as I go down a few things. If you guys do or don't believe in any of those things, do you guys believe in curses? Do you guys believe in black magic? And just so you guys won't think I'm racist, do you guys believe in voodoo? Voodoo, black magic, curses. Do you guys believe in any of this stuff? Last one, which is interesting. Do you guys believe in hypnosis? That you can get put in a state so deep where your mind regresses and pulls from your subconscious to pull out old thoughts, memories, opinions, thoughts, ideals, or even can interact with the dead or any spiritual or the world or the life or the earth, any sort of thing like that. Now, this one I wrote a while ago, but I think I've been watching more TV than normal, and it's normally background music for me. Any listeners from the Comic Syndicate know I don't watch a lot of TV. I'm more of a reader and writer. But Ancient Aliens on the background, Paranormal Experiences type of deal, History Channel, Discovery Channel, stuff like that have been on in the background more, and it's making me just question more things. Like, this podcast was not put together to let anyone know, like, okay, I'm right, this is the be-all, end-all, like, this is it. No, it's a thought-provoking conversation, and that's what it is. People don't have to believe in the same thing, but just respect what we all believe in, and we each have our own ideals and beliefs and belief systems. Like, we can go down religion, and that's going to take us down one thing. I'm not saying if you believe in Catholicism or Christianity, it's any type of religion. Now, that whole list one more time. Did you guys have an answer for each and every one of those topics? I personally agree and see parts from everything. And honestly, I believe in all these things personally. It's going to be it's not going to be biased. It's just going to be very open to interpretation conversation. And then I'm going to go into what happens or what I've dealt with. So again, watching these things in the background to the point where it makes me question everything. It makes me question how I grew up with religion, and I'm still religious, but everything that I've seen and that has come out in the news, and we're getting more facts about things. Our government is finally letting out information. Like, you know what? There, we have answers that, yeah, you know what? There have been UFOs. Are there aliens? Like answers like we need. And if you guys aren't religious, though, do you guys believe in entities or spirits or ghosts, let alone possessions, as gnarly as that sounds? But each of these are not so far-fetched. Are they really, though? I mean, I don't think so. I'm going to go into several stories, but I'm going to go through an article right now. Alien abduction or accidental awareness. This is the story, and I'm going to go into the article. It's still part of the article. So then they roll me over on my back, and the examiner has a long needle in his hand. And I see the needle. and it's bigger than any needle that I've ever seen. So testifies Betty Hill of her experience inside a flying saucer near Franconia Notch, New Hampshire, in 1961. Betty and her husband Barney Hill are the earliest known victims of alien abduction. And the 1966 bestseller, The Interrupted Journey, describes how they recalled the event under hypnosis. Their story includes nude medical exams and invasive probing, an alien abduction scenario many of us recognize from the TV shows and movies of the past 50 years. But in 2008, a Columbia University psychoanalyst published Alien Abduction, a Medical Hypothesis, which suggested that what is known as quote-unquote accidental awareness under general anesthesia, quote-unquote, in which a patient awakens on the table during surgery, might lie behind stories of alien abduction. The analyst, David V. Forrest, noted the similarity of the classic alien abduction scenario, bug-eyed greenish humanoids surrounding the subject as she lies on an examining table under a bright light, to the operating room situation, where surgeons in scrubs and masks hover over the patient and enter her body with tools. Asked if being probed by aliens felt like his prior tonsillectomy, Barney Hill agreed. I have had a tonsillectomy before, and yeah, I was fucked up. So I'm curious about his answer. And I did go through this. Barney Hill agreed like that, but my eyes are closed and I only have mental pictures and I am not in pain and I can feel a slight feeling. My groin feels cold. Now, my groin never felt cold before, during the tonsillectomy when I had it. But I was on morphine and I was high the whole time. So that could probably be why. And the story goes, or the article, while in a hypnotic trance, Barney Hill told his psychiatrist, "I don't want to be operated on." He described a spacecraft lit by blue fluorescent light, which didn't cast any shadows, as in a surgical suite. The aliens had oddly shaped heads with large craniums and indistinct lips and nostrils. They were all foreheads and eyes. Though he was terrified, he felt sluggish. He was struck by the all-business, professional bedside manner of the alien, quote-unquote, doctors, and impressed by their determination to do whatever it was they were meant to do. He could have been describing the well-intentioned members of, the Royal College of Anesthesiologists. Sorry about that, guys. Who have just released the largest collection of data on accidental awareness ever assembled. Awareness during general anesthesia first attracted interest in the late 1990s when patient activist Carol Weyer publicized her own awareness experience. Awareness has since spawned support groups, Facebook pages, a horror movie, and an episode of Grey's Anatomy, but is only now being generally recognized by the medical community. The Royal College notes that one purpose of the report is to, quote-unquote, present an apology on behalf of the profession to all those patients who have hereto been let down by a collective failure to understand or accept the condition. Of course, most patients who experience awareness never claim they were abducted by aliens. None of the hundreds of patients interviewed for the new report did. But the Royal College report documents the potential for lasting, perhaps permanent, psychological damage to afflicted patients. While half the patients in one survey experienced pain, two-thirds experienced helplessness and panic. Okay, let me jump in there real quick. If they're talking about sleep paralysis, I've mentioned several times throughout the years that I've been recording these, and my reoccurring dreams and nightmares and things that I experience, and sleep paralysis is one of those. So to experience them at a young age, like 13 years old, the first recollection I have when I was in junior high school was gnarly and freaky. So to feel the helplessness and panic at the time and didn't know what it was. It felt like something was pushing me down, which honestly, the first experience I had, I believe that's what it was. Like, that was something different, that was something holding me down. Like, my eyes were awake for that one. I don't know what it is, an entity or something. It was something was holding me down. This is during the day too, though. So again, 13-year-old Josiah, and grew up with a religious family or in a religious family, and to start just praying and quoting books of the Bible and everything that I could toss out religion-wise and scriptures was very, I don't know, it released the pressure little by little off my chest. And it wasn't like I necessarily couldn't breathe, but I felt that just weird sensation as I'm laying on my back. Now, as I've gotten older throughout the years, I've come to recognize, like, the things I experienced now, the past about 10 years. I don't sleep well, and I always have that midpoint where the deep sleep comes in to play with my body still being wired and ready to work, because that's the way I am. Like, I'm always working on something, and something's always going on, not in my head, like, I'm not fucked up like that, but just the creativity, and I don't know how to turn it off sometimes. So if I'm working both jobs on one night, on a Friday night, and I get out of the office at 5, I shoot to the second job at 6, I'm out by midnight, 1 o'clock, I'm going to sleep by like 3-4 o'clock just because I need to unwind. So even those instances, they fuck with your body chemistry. And I know that. And I've done homework now where it's like, okay, that was sleep paralysis. So to deal with it now, not as often, but I still have those experiences. I totally know this. Do any of you guys suffer from sleep apnea, from sleep paralysis? Like, have you guys experienced this before? I know Jonathan, one of our old listeners, has experienced it, and he's hit me up on the side. Please, like, this is a conversation. Like, I want you guys to share stories with me. So again, they feel helplessness and panic. Over 40% of patients studied for the report experienced moderate to severe psychological harm, with some incapacitated by post-traumatic stress disorder. That's definitely not me. One awareness patient describes a flashback. It struck again, quote unquote, his direct quote. I struck again days later as horrifying images and terror that rose from the depths of my being. I was once again in the grips of horror. Again, not comprehending. Again, trapped. Again, struggling to survive, yet wishing for death. Alien abduction, quote unquote, alien abduction seems almost restful in comparison. Now, the article goes on, assuming Barney Hill wasn't actually brought aboard a spaceship that night in 1961. He may have experienced a flashback to his tonsillectomy. He was cold. His eyes were closed. He didn't want to be operated on. Then he woke up under general anesthesia to full-blown terror, surrounded by distorted beings, squinting in the blue light of the OR. Perhaps the pain and horror of awareness overwhelmed his mind. Or maybe it was the anesthetic drugs. Sorry. But somehow the experience disappeared from his working memory until he and Betty came to believe they had crossed paths with an unidentified flying object on a dark and lonely New Hampshire road. All right, I told you guys I was going to stop several times. How many of you guys have gone in for any operation? My most serious one was tonsillectomy, and my throat was destroyed. They told me, you're going to lose your voice. Like, how do you want us to do this? And I've mentioned it before, and hopefully it's funny. But they told me we can go straight through your mouth and just fucking give it to you that way and chop it out of you and cut it the fuck out of you. Or we can cut the back of your ear lobe, like your throat area, and go take it out from the side. And I was given those options, and they're like, they were skeptic, even as doctors. Like, we don't know which one is better. But if we go through the side of your neck, there's a huge percentile chance that if we fuck up any nerve in there, like you can lose function on that side of your throat. You can lose your voice. Your voice is going to change, type of deal. It was scary. So I told the doctors, you know what, go on through my mouth. Like, just give it to me in my mouth. If you got to go into my mouth, go into my mouth. So that's what happened. I didn't wake up, thank goodness. The anesthesia count backwards from 90, from 100 to 1. I think I got to like 94 and I was out anyways. And I didn't wake up. I woke up feeling like a good man. Just 100%. The doctors are like, you're talking to everyone here. Are you in any pain? I'm like, no, like the way my throat was feeling before everything, like I've had a 105 degree fever. Like, no, like this doesn't feel bad to talk to people. And it's all my family and friends there. But have you guys experienced any of these things? Do you guys know anyone that has experienced anything like this? Lots of things I want to talk about. Like, the Comic Syndicate is pop culture. This is shit where it's like, let's have a conversation with people. How do you guys feel about this? Do you guys believe it? Do you guys think any of this? Do you think it's all bullshit? Article continues on. Alien abduction has been considered a fantasy, a hoax, and even to some, a fact. But it is now clear that it may also represent a recovered memory. Recovered memories are frequently astounding and implausible. If they were orderly and digestible, we would not have forgotten them. Most famously, recovered memory has been at the heart of controversial claims of childhood, sexual abuse, satanic cults, and other disturbing and difficult to prove allegations by one family member against another. The difficulty of distinguishing between recovered memories and so-called false memories has troubled psychiatrists and patients alike. What can anesthesia awareness teach us about recovered memory? For one thing, the report discusses different types of memory, including quote-unquote trauma memory. Everyday memories are not terribly descriptive. Intense emotional states, such as those experienced during awareness, create memories that are rich in sensory detail and tend to burst out inappropriately as in a flashback. Trauma memories are not encoded as logical narratives, but as globs of sensation, thus a sensory experience. Like seeing a hospital worker in scrubs can cause an awareness survivor to feel overwhelmed with panic and to relieve the sensation of paralysis she suffered through while while under anesthesia. Here it goes. It's going to end soon. PTSD researchers have found that trauma memories are jumbled, and making sense of them can be compared to putting together a jigsaw puzzle. Memories are recovered in bits and pieces. When Barney Hill heard the playback of the tapes he had made while telling his story under hypnosis, he said, "I felt, quote unquote, I felt so overwhelmed and relieved. Now parts of my life that had been missing were added to it again. Parts of my life were being put back together." End quote. The story of his abduction by aliens helped him create meaning out of a set of just disjointed and mysterious sensations. And that was weight off his shoulders. Similarly, the Royal College concluded that the awareness experience is less traumatic when patients understood what is happening or receive an explanation after it has occurred. How do you guys feel about that? You guys were under anesthesia and you're tripping and you're having these false recollections, quote unquote, these false memories, these dilapidated memories, these whatever you want to call them, these real memories, just these made up thoughts. How do you guys feel about that? If someone can explain something, Are you okay with that? Or do you question everything? The report recommends that all hospitals develop protocols for helping patients with suspected or confirmed awareness. As a poster advised on the website awarenesstrauma.com, quote unquote, I also found that having the experience validated by the doctors involved was important to my recovery. But I can tell you this was difficult to get, as they did not want to admit their mistake. End quote. All right. This one was just interesting to me. There is another problem. A person can only report an awareness experience if she or he remembers it, which could take years or never happen at all. Okay, so how about those experiences, those traumatic experiences that anyone can deal with as a child when it's just so traumatic and we all have certain ones that are popping into all of our heads. I have a bunch that are popping in my head, listeners. Let's say a child witnesses a murder. Like, how would that traumatically fuck up and change this child's upbringing and awareness and just life and upbringing and ideals and morals and moral compass? Alien abduction may be one of the most dramatic sequelae of anesthesia awareness, but surely not the only one. Hate jazz? Question mark. If you ever had surgery, it may not just be your taste in music. One awareness patient, formerly a jazz aficionado, developed a bizarre aversion to the style after an awareness experience. It was not until years later that she recalled hearing a favorite jazz piece playing in the OR while awake during surgery. A number of changes in anesthesia practice to minimize the impact of awareness, in particular the decreased use of neuromuscular blockade, which induces paralysis in the patient and may not always be necessary. The Royal College suggests that patients be assessed post-operatively for awareness experiences and offered explanation, reassurance, and counseling. That's all very rational, well-meaning, and compassionate. Human one might even say. Okay, my bad. Perhaps in the future there will be fewer alien abductions, but it seems more likely now that they have invaded our bodies and our culture for over 50 years. Aliens will never leave this planet for good. Okay, guys. That's the end of the article, and I did interject a bit, and I'm going to give some closing thoughts on this. Everything that I went through in the beginning, I'm an idealist, and I have my beliefs and my moral compass and codes that I follow. I know what's right, what's wrong, and I know how to treat people well, and do I believe in everything that I read off earlier? And those were just my questions to premise and start this particular article and this particular deep dive and rabbit hole. Do you guys believe in numbers like numerology, astrology, astronomy? Do you guys believe in religion, science, astronomy, spirits, ghosts, and or entities? Do you guys believe giant creatures once roamed the earth? Dinosaurs, UFOs, unidentified flying objects, different than actual aliens and or alien abductions. Possessions by ghosts or entities or spirits, some good, some bad. Do you guys believe in curses, black magic, or voodoo? Do you guys believe in hypnosis? Like, these are all questions. These are all things that people can be skeptic about, that I love. I was rolling down all these, and I was talking to Victoria again at the office today and talking about movies with her, like Fire in the Sky and The Fourth Kind, and like telling her watch these and watch Event Horizon and Contact is what she threw out too. Movies like that. For me, I'm an older man now, and all the experiences that I've gone through in my life. Granted, 39 years. Have any of you guys had an experience with any of these things at all? So for me, the reality of alien beings from 50,000 years ago to make me question reality religion and even life sometimes. Like, I'm one of those curious guys where I listen to every side and I want to be disproven, and I go after what would make me think or challenge religion or science or hypnosis. Like, I love those answers. Maybe it's a bit of everything. But again, it's all open to interpretation till we finally get the facts and answers that we're all looking for in life, in the world, in our own lives. What has the government been hiding from us that we don't know about? Like, how many presidents know about aliens that we do have stored? Like, stuff like that. And history. I'm a huge history guy, too. It's okay to question things, guys. Let's not revolt about it, but let's be understanding about what's going on in the world. And with just what's going on. Like, I think I've experienced just about everything except a UFO abduction. I believe in all these things. I challenge all these things. And not challenge it in an asshole way, like, this is the be-all, end-all. No, I'm open-minded about all these things. Hypnosis is probably the scariest one to me, because if I get put under, like, what part of Josias's subconscious would speak on behalf of me? Like, is it the good-natured version of me, or is it the terrible Josias that still exists in me, but is just unnecessary now, you know? Like, as people, we grew up, we change. So yes, if you guys like this podcast, look for that little rabbit if you guys download on Podbean. If every time you see that rabbit, it's going to be a Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes podcast. If it's the microphone with a beard and shades, that's the Audio Chronicles. I'm going to end this podcast by saying the Comic Syndicate is my baby. Like, that's number one. And just because started the Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes and started the Audio Chronicles, that doesn't mean those went anywhere. I work a lot. I've been writing a lot. Like, I have so many of these in the cartridge, ready to go, ammunition. Like, I can go and talk. There is not a Comic Syndicate episode this week because it gives me time to catch up on the Comic Syndicate, honestly. Like, I write and read so much where it's putting everything in order and putting everything together. So in the long run, it will make sense. But you guys do have content and you guys have something to listen to. Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes. The podcast, subscribe under the Comic Syndicate. Every time you see that bunny rabbit again, just hit me up. If you have questions, hit up at Deep Dives R on Twitter. And I'm the host. Like, I run this. I fucking own this. I'm going to fucking run and gun. I'm going to start off 2020 and I'm going to show you how creative I really am. So I got some interviews coming up for Deep Dives. Oh, nope. For the Audio Chronicles. I got some interviews coming up for the Comic Syndicate. But yeah. Three different podcasts with three different topics. I hope you guys enjoyed this one. Share the podcast. I'm a skeptic about everything, about the world, about people. Like, I don't know. I love being that person, and my way is not the right way all the time. My thoughts, my ideals, my beliefs. I understand I'm not correct all the time. But let's look at it in this way too. If we were able to go to space and we're able to observe and send satellites out so deep into space, and what was it? 70% of the Earth is covered in water and we still haven't reached the deepest depths of our oceans yet. Like, how crazy and bizarre shit must be living in our own waters on our own planet? I don't know. Food for thought. Hopefully you guys share the podcast. Share us, rate us, subscribe, rate, star, give us stars, leave some reviews. I totally appreciate it. You guys are awesome. I'll be back next week with the Comic Syndicate, a fresh episode, a bunch of reviews. All right, I'll catch you guys next week. Peace out.